one of my favorites. Been a while since I heard it. It's very, very good. If you would, in your Bibles, a very familiar passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. And we'll use this as kind of a springboard to cover a topic tonight on temptation. We're not covering the topic of how to deal with sin tonight. Again, the topic is temptation. And understanding temptation and then how to oppose temptation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. The Bible says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be able to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." And we do use this verse, and it is appropriate to use this verse as far as when we come through trials and things, that God is there with us and that He has His hand on the thermostat. We know that. But also here we see, practically speaking, the area of temptation, just being tempted. And we're going to differentiate tonight between what is temptation and what is testing. And so we'll do a little bit of that tonight, just a good study tonight. All right? Let's pray. Lord, we pray tonight that You would be with us as we look at this subject of temptation. I pray, God, that You would help us and energize us, enable us to oppose it. Well, thank You for what You'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. Temptation is a universal problem. Would you not agree? All of us are tempted on a daily basis. As long as we're our fallen natures are a part of us, we're going to be subject to temptation. And we understand and know, the more we understand and know about the operation of temptation, the more we can oppose it. I think one of the best ways to do that is look at Romans chapter 7. And I know we, again, study that particular chapter a lot. I spent some time with the men and this morning at the seminary talking about this particular verse, or chapter. So we see Paul talking about the struggle that he had with temptation, the struggle he had with sin. And he says, "What shall we say then?" He says in verse 7, "Is the law sin?" And then he goes on to talk about, look at, down with me in verse 14. "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." Who is speaking here? This is the Apostle Paul. This is the Apostle who wrote over half the New Testament. Amen. And let's be reminded that if Paul struggled, then surely we'll struggle as well. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." Even the Apostle Paul struggled. Says verse 15, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that do I. If I then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that what I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God." Don't we all? Yeah. If you're saved tonight, you delight in the law of God after the inward man. "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity, the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man," this is the Apostle Paul now, "oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And I love the next verse. "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And he basically says, you know what? Who's going to deliver me from this war within, this war, the struggle of the old man, the new man, the old nature, the new nature, this temptation? Who is going to deliver me from it? The Lord is. Jesus Christ is going to deliver me. And then chapter 8 is all about the Holy Spirit and how to have, how to be empowered to overcome that temptation, right? "There is therefore now no condemnation them that in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the what? The Spirit." And you go through there and look how many times. Verse 4 says, "Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Verse 5 says, "But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Verse 9 says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And but the Spirit of life and righteousness." Verse 11, "But the Spirit." And you see again the emphasis in chapter and I didn't even get to the rest of them. There's a whole bunch more. A spirit. It's the Spirit of God that enables us to overcome and to fight that battle when it comes to that fleshly nature and that temptations that we are so succumbed to if we're not careful. So, temptation. It's a constant struggle. Easy illustration is a football game. I mean, we have a football game going on inside of us. There's a war within us. There's two teams, the old man and the new man, the old nature and the new nature, and they're fighting one another. And that flesh just wars against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and it's back and forth. So we understand and know that. Temptation or tempting or testing, let me give you the definitions of these two words. We're going to differentiate between the two words, tempting and testing. Tempting means a solicitation to evil, a solicitation to evil. Those forces that attack us and seek to work our ruin. So being tempted is about those forces that attack us and seek to do our ruin. It's that temptation to steal, that temptation to covet somebody else's stuff. It's that temptation to anger, that temptation to retaliation, that temptation to revenge. It's that temptation to... I'm not going to make jokes tonight. The temptation to... I mean, whatever it is in your life that you struggle with, that temptation, that forces that are attacking you. And some of you tonight, you know, it is that drawing of the world back in the old life. And maybe it is a draw to go to a bar, or maybe it is a draw to go back to some kind of addiction or whatever it may be. Whatever that is tempting you and is out to destroy you, out to make you fall into that trap once again. And so we need to be careful. That's temptation. Now, what is the difference between temptation and testing? Testing is a trial planned or permitted by God. A trial that is planned or permitted by God. And those circumstances that test the strength of our conviction and character and seek to improve us. And seek to improve us. This could be the loss of a job. Something happens. By the way, if you lose your job, God permitted it. Maybe he didn't cause it, and I'm not saying whether he does that. He can do that as well. But he at least permitted it. And so he has your best interest in mind. He has my best interest in mind. And whether it's the loss of a job or sickness or financial hardship, these situations that we find ourselves in, these trials that we find ourselves in, these testings we find ourselves in, they are there to build character and to seek improvement. I always tell my kids that. Something happens to them, so that just builds character. Fall and hurt themselves, no blood, no foul, build character. And our Heavenly Father allows things to happen to us and allows that principle of you reap what you sow, and allows that principle in our life to improve us. And that's where it's difficult for us to come to. But my God, you know, we know that from Romans chapter 28, that he works all things together for good. It's one thing to preach it. It's one thing to teach it. It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to practice it. And so, again, the temptation is a solicitation to do evil. The testing is a trial planned or permitted by God. The word tempt is used at times in relation to God, but never in such cases in regard to solicitation to do evil. In other words, the word tempt is never used in a way that it's a solicitation to do evil, because God does not tempt us. Amen. To do evil. Right. Makes that very clear. Amen. Several times in the Bible. God does not do that. Amen. We know the world tempts us. We know the devil does. And our own flesh, that's our three enemies, right? Yeah. And let me give you the outline again. Against the world, we use what? Faith. Faith overcometh the world. Against our flesh, we use flight. And flee also youthful lust. Just whatever you get tempted to do, and it's your old flesh craving it, just get out of there. And against Satan, we use fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Put on the whole armor of God. Take the sword of the Spirit. And fight the good fight. And so I'm getting ahead of myself. I just did that, but that's all right. But we see these, again, testings and then temptation, the differences between the two. The designs. Through temptation, Satan seeks to destroy the testimony and future effectiveness of the Christian. Satan tempts the desire in us to do wrong. He's the one that wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy our testimony. He wants to destroy our effectiveness as a Christian. I'll never forget, I was a freshman in high school, and I went to a basketball game. My kids aren't in here, so I'll tell the story. And on the way back from that basketball game, they did some smoking. And I'll never forget, I did participate. Shouldn't have, but I did. I felt so convicted about that, so convicted, that after it was done, I wrote each of them a note that was in the car. And I apologized to them personally. And I tell my wife will testify this. She was up here, and some of y'all have heard some of my testimony. She's up here. I had like a 3 or 4 month window of rebellion my freshman year in high school. That's about, and I'm not, whether that's bragging or not bragging, it's whatever, but a 3 or 4 month window there where I really struggled. And that's, and I don't want to have to give the whole testimony tonight, but that's where Dick Webster, that's why Brother Webster has such a big place in my heart. And he, a pastor friend of mine, when I was a kid even, who stepped in and helped me through that struggle. But in that time, that small giving in to that temptation, Satan desired to ruin my testimony. Yeah. And I had a testimony, and I did, even after apologizing, it was, Lord really blessed that. Amen. And I had a good testimony in high school. And I lived for the Lord in high school. But he seeks to destroy your testimony. And he's going to tempt you to do something that will make you ineffective as a Christian. Yeah. Through testing, now that's through temptation now, Satan seeks to destroy us. But through testing, God seeks to strengthen the testimony and improve the future effectiveness as a Christian. In other words, God tests our determination to do right. That loss of a job, people are watching you. People are watching you. They're going to see how you go through that testing. And as you come through that testing, your kids are watching you. Maybe it's your grandkids watching you. Maybe it's your spouse watching you. But you're going to be more effective as a Christian as you go through that test. That's the difference between the test and temptation. In the temptation, Satan's seeking to destroy your effectiveness as a Christian. And in a testing, God's desire is to strengthen your testimony and improve your effectiveness as you go down the road. I've told you this illustration 1,000 times. My brother in high school was called Dippy Dan the Holy Man because my brother lived in a Christian life in high school, and he was made fun of it constantly about it. And he was about 5'11 and 3/4. He says he's 6 foot. He was never 6 foot tall. And he was about 125 pounds soaking wet. And he had a big nose like me. And he really put off that vibe that, you know, that come beat me up type vibe. And my brother could whoop just about anybody. I'm telling you, in a boxing match, I'm bragging on him now, his effectiveness as a boxer. And they didn't want to fight him. But he wasn't in the crowd. You know, he had no outlet. And so not only did they make fun of him, but especially with him, his stance as a Christian. But you know, again, by the end of his school, by the end of high school, they respected him. Amen. It's amazing how things turn. And the same thing happened in my high school as well. Now, the only difference between me and my brother is I was a little bigger and could take care of myself, and nobody would make fun of me to my face in high school. And that's not something I should brag about. But it was different for me a little bit. My brother went through way more taunting than I ever did. And though I think we lived comparable in high school, my brother went through the ringer. I'm telling you. I'm proud of him that he did that. Yeah. By the way, he was 4 years ahead of me, so he left a legacy for me as I entered high school. Not only was it a good testimony to the student body, but it's a good testimony to the teachers as well. And I'll never forget all those teachers who bragged on him. And my brother did not make good grades. And if he was here, he'd say the same thing. He was a terrible student. But he had a great testimony, and I'm proud of that. And that, the testings are there to strengthen our testimony. the taunting my brother endured in high school strengthened his testimony, especially as time went on and they began to respect him because he didn't waver and he didn't bend, he didn't bow, and he stayed by the stuff. And so as you do that in your life, as you stay by the stuff, as you stand firm in the faith, then God will bless that and strengthen your testimony. Your effectiveness as a Christian will be heads above and strides ahead as you face these testings, okay? All right, we think about these various sources of temptation. There are sources of temptation, and I'm not going to go through all of them, but we know that self is a source of temptation, that our flesh is a source of temptation. James chapter 1, I'm going to turn there and read it, and if I get there before you do, I'm going to read it. James chapter 1 and verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, a solicitation to do evil. For God cannot tempt with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man, listen to this, verse 14, James chapter 1. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So our own flesh is the biggest culprit of temptation in our life. There's not a doubt in my mind. Our old nature, that flesh. We like to blame it on Satan a lot. And certainly Satan has a part of that. We'll talk about that in a moment. But our flesh and its cravings. 1 John 2:16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Genesis chapter 3 verse 6 says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, lust of the eye, and that was pleasant to the eyes, I'm sorry, lust of the eye, the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, I'm sorry, let me get back to it. Genesis 3, 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, lust of the flesh, and it was pleasant to the eye, lust of the eye, and a tree desired to make one wise, pride of life. So that is the three temptations that was used by the flesh. Listen, that's what's being used today. Not only by the flesh, but by Satan. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life. Satan and our flesh hasn't changed. And the way we are tempted hasn't changed. Lust of the flesh, that means just food. And I've used food as a, you know, but anything we want. Lust of the eyes, all the fun. And the pride of life, fame. That's just an easy way to remember it. Food, fun, and fame. That's what the flesh craves. Number two, sources of temptation. Not only self, and we battle that, but Satan. We know that Satan's approach is very subtle. We know in Genesis 3, verse 1, he came to Eve there in the Garden of Eden. Subtle. The Bible describes him as a false prophet, as deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostle of Christ. In other words, Satan will come subtly, as in transforming himself into something that is very appealing. And it says there in 2 Corinthians, transforming himself to a former thing self into the apostle of Christ. In other words, he will mimic what Christ does. Easy way to illustrate this is on TV. I don't know why I do this. Brother Wiggins does the same thing. I flip through the channels, and every once in a while I just have to stop on one of those and listen to some of those guys on Channel 2 and the TBN work network and some of those. I just it's hard for me to see how someone would succumb to that type of stuff. And I know it's my upbringing and the way I was raised, but it's hard for me to see how one could be deceived into believing so many but they appear as angels of light. They appear with a message that mimics what we preach and teach. And that's how Satan does it. He does it very subtly. He mimics, copies many times what we're doing, what the Lord would have be done, and then just tweaks it and twists it and gets people snared by it. And that is his approach. Subtle, but also sincere, coming as an apostle of light, an angel of light. His appeal is to self-interest. He said to Eve, "Yea, hath God said." He appeals to our flesh. Our flesh is what gives in, but he appeals to it. He puts the apple out there in front of you. He's the one that puts the chocolate chip, chocolate cake out there in front of you. He's the one, and I went ahead and went that way, and I should have. He's the one who puts the stuff. He's the one that brings that. It's the flesh that has the appetite. But many times it's Satan who tempts that flesh, makes it accessible, and makes it more appealing. Many times, too, Satan will appeal to scriptures. We know this because he did it with Jesus. He said, "Won't you turn these rocks into bread?" He said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Satan appealed many times. We know this again through false prophets and through false teachers, and how Satan will use even the Bible to try to twist it to get us ensnared. Satan's appeal was made to draw the lust of the flesh, as I've just stated, the bread, the lust of the eye, the kingdoms, and the pride of life. Again, even tempting Jesus to jump off the temple and allow the angels to catch him. He did all those temptations, that testing with the Lord, by twisting the Word of God and what it had to say. We need to check the teachings and preachings of those who teach and preach to us by the Word of God. Amen. Everything should be tested. We should check these things, whether they be so, like the Berean church. That's why we should have our Bibles with us. That's why we should read it and make sure the pastor or the teacher, the associate pastor, whomever, is teaching truth from the Word of God. And don't take it for granted that they are. That's, again, one of the worst things you could ever say is, "Well, that's what the preacher said." Man, study your, yes, listen to the preacher, but make sure, check him out. Make sure he's preaching the Word of God. Because Satan loves to deceive. There's a lot of cults out there deceiving people. Amen. The Mormons, the Jehovah Witnesses. Yeah. And we could go down a list of them. And listen, a lot of good people being duped. A lot of sincere people. A lot of good people. But they're sincerely wrong. Yeah. And we need to be careful. Satan uses and appeals in so many different ways. We also see not only the source of temptation, but we see the sovereignty and the temptation. In other words, that God is able to overrule Satan's opportunity. In Job chapter 1, we see that that Satan comes before God and asks about Job. And basically says to God, "Job is serving you only because you protect him. If you'll remove the hedge of protection, then Job will curse you." And so God permitted Satan and allowed Satan to tempt Job. And Job went through some awful things, didn't he? Lost his family, lost his riches, lost everything. And I love what he said. Naked came out of the mother's womb. Naked I return. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? And through the trial, Job, and we know he finally did question God, but God is able to take and overrule Satan's opportunity if he desires to. That's the point. The Lord could have said, "No, I'm going to keep the hedge of protection on Job," and that's it. So it's, again, we're back to when temptation comes your way, when that testing comes your way, the testing, not a solicitation to do evil, but when the testing comes, God either is the one pushing it forward, or God has at least permitted it, right? God is able to turn Satan's attack into advantage. I love this part. Now, in Job's situation, we see that God allowed and permitted Job to be tested. And in that testing, Job came out better at the end. Remember the verse? I need to turn there. Job chapter 42. Amen. Job 42. Sword drills, everybody. Sword drills. Job 42. Oh, he was already there. Verse 1, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel with knowledge? Therefore hath I uttered that I understand not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not." Basically saying, "Lord, I'm sorry I questioned you." Hear, I beseech thee, I beg you, I will speak, I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And we know that he received double what he had had before. But because of the testing that Job was allowed to go through, at the end, he understood the Lord. He said, I heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. In other words, I knew God. I knew about God. But now my eye seeth thee. His relationship with the Lord went to a whole nother level. Amen. It's just like Isaiah when he saw the Lord high and lifted up and his train filled the temple. And he said, woe is me, a man of unclean lips. It changed Isaiah's life. When Moses saw the Lord and just saw the hinder parts of the Lord. Moses said, show me thy glory. And God said, I can't. If you were to see my glory, you'd die. He said, but get in the cleft of the rock. He put him in the cleft of the rock, and he just simply strolled by. And Moses simply saw the hinder parts of the Lord, and it changed his life. And we know that he would meet there with the Shekinah glory and meet there in the temple, and it changed Moses' life. Seeing the Lord changed his life. Job's life was transformed and changed forever because it all began with the test. Luke chapter 22, Satan's attack on Peter. Satan attacked Peter. There Jesus says, we're not going to turn there. Jesus said to him, Satan has a desire to sift you, Peter. What happened to Peter? Well, he gave into the temptation, the test. But in the end, he stood up and preached and 3,000 souls got saved. Peter was transformed, not only by the test, but by seeing Jesus. And something about seeing Jesus, something about seeing the Lord, transform your life. Another case of God's able to, or the attack turns to the advantage, is Satan's attack on Christ. I believe somewhat that when Satan saw, you don't think Satan had a part in the Romans and the Jews, do you? Just a little bit? Sure. He was the head of the Sanhedrin Council. So he used those men. Satan used their pride and all those things. And of course, we know Jesus laid down his life on the cross. But I can imagine, in my mind's eye, Satan saying, I got him. I got him. Let's remember back. The Bible says the angels look into the gospel but do not understand it. Satan can look into the gospel. He's not an angel per se, but he's a created being, a cherub. He can look into the gospel but does not fully understand it. By the way, I'm a human being. I understand the gospel, but I don't understand why God would die for me. But Satan looks into it. He doesn't fully understand. So what I'm saying is, what Satan thought was a victory on his part was really a defeat. And God turned it, and Jesus rose from the dead. So even Jesus Christ testing, God turned to the good. By the way, very good. Because I'm saved tonight. I know there's many others we could talk about. Oh, I know one. Satan's attack on us. What does Peter say? He's a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, right? Satan's a roaring lion, seeking whom may devour. He desires to ruin us. It says there, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in this world. Again, we're back to that, such as common to man. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory of Christ Jesus, after that he has suffered a little while, let me reread that, after that ye have suffered a while, make you what? Perfect, that means complete, establish and strengthen and settle you. So after the testing, we're being completed, established, and strengthened. Satan desires that we should fail. But many times, God turns it to our good, if we allow him to. Passing or failing. Here's again the two comparisons. Testing. Abraham passed the test in Genesis 22 when he offered up Isaac, his only son, there on the altar. Abraham passed the test. Everybody know that was a test. Saul failed the test when he was told to go into to the Amalekites and destroy them utterly. But instead of doing that, he brought back the king and he brought back some of the sheep and the best of the stuff. Remember, old Samuel says, "What is that that I hear? Why do I hear the bleating of sheep? Bah, why do I hear the sheep?" And Saul said, "Well, we brought back the good stuff. We're going to sacrifice it." Samuel said, "You disobeyed God and took the kingdom away from him." Saul failed the test. Then we think about temptation. Joseph passed the test. Joseph was tempted by Pharaoh, by Potiphar's wife. There in the house, she said, "Lie with me." And Joseph said, How can I do that to my master and to my Lord? How can I do that?" And he fled, but he forgot his coat. Well, she grabbed his coat. Joseph passed the test. Amen. Man, we want to pass the test. Job passed the temptation. We want to overcome temptation. Joseph overcame temptation. Greatest example in the Old Testament of somebody who failed? David. David failed the test. David failed the test. He should have been at war with his men like he's supposed to, but he was on his palace looking down and saw Bathsheba and failed the test. Go read about it. He failed the test. Failure follows a pattern. This pattern is we see in Eve's life, we see in Achan's life, we see in David's life, and here's the pattern. Ready? And we're done. Number one is loitering. These are all L's. Somebody else gave this outline. I didn't come up with this. I'm not smart enough. Loitering. It's when we are just simply hanging out. What is that? Yeah. Busy. Stay busy. Anyway, loitering, just hanging out. Well, we don't want teenagers to hang out, do we? We want them to keep them busy. Idle minds, the devil's workshop. Keep them busy. An idle hands thing that Brother Clark was saying. Number two is looking, and that is looking at those things in which we shouldn't look at, and hanging out, being places we shouldn't be, looking at things we shouldn't be looking at. Therefore, desiring things we shouldn't be at, listening. Eve listened. David was looking when he shouldn't have been looking. He was hanging out when he shouldn't have been hanging out. Then lusting for those things in which we shouldn't have. And then losing control. David lost control. Saul's men lost control. Saul was afraid of his own men. He was afraid that if he destroyed everything utterly, his men would take him out. Men wanted that stuff. And Saul wanted it too, or else he would have stood up against them. Lusting after that stuff, losing control. And then, lastly, when you do loiter and hang out and look and listen to those things you shouldn't listen to and lusting after those things and then losing control, you have to live with the consequences. So there's your six L's. Loitering, looking, listening, lusting, losing control, and then we live with the consequences. That's it. You reap what you sow. Let's be Abraham when it comes to testing. Let's pass the test. Whatever God asks us to do, let's obey Him completely. I love that Abraham said, "Lord, here I am." And you never see him falter or never see him question God. He just says, "Lord, here am I." Whereas Saul failed the test. Joseph passed the test. He fled the lustful flesh. David failed the test. Man's problem with temptation can be overcome by observing the sources and guarding against them. What is the source? Well, Satan. What is the source? The flesh. What is the source? The world. We need to be careful. In the model prayer, Jesus says, "Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Might be good for us to pray, "Lord, help me." Temptation discovers what we are. Temptation discovers who we are. We need to be careful. Testing, temptation. Been a while since I discerned between the two. testing. Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Savior of all, will test you. But testing is for our good. And then Satan will tempt us, solicit us to do evil. And that is not for our good. And let's overcome. And we overcome through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, let's all stand. In 163, only trust Him. Only trust Him. After we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight for Your Word. And we thank You, Lord. It's hard many times to thank You, Lord, for the testings we go through. But I pray that there's someone here tonight who's going through a testing, Lord, that they would follow the example of Abraham. They would obey and rely upon You through the test and be strengthened by it. Lord, I pray through the temptations we'd be as Joseph. And we would overcome that temptation. I pray, Lord, that You would help us and encourage and strengthen those who are fighting the good fight of faith. Thank You for what You'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn 163, only trust.